Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Jumping off into hour two here. Welcome in. Bobby Hebert, Christian Garrick. Sports Talk continues, rolls on. Mark Menard at Master Control. Phone lines are open. Actually, one is open at 504-260-1870. Having some fun today. Saints headed out to L.A. What should the Saints' slogan be for 2019? Last year, prove them right. Getting some great creative ones on the text line and on the phone lines. So back to the phones we go. Jim and Marrero, carry over from last hour. You're on WWL, Jim.
How you doing? I think that theme, it kind of ties in a little bit to last year, but more, you know, especially for this year, leave no doubt.
Hey, leave no doubt. They left no doubt last year, but the officials decided to put it in their hands.
Yeah, but you can't put it in their hands, Christian. We got to be winning where even if a call doesn't go our way, we're so far ahead it doesn't matter.
Well, that's how you leave no doubt.
Right.
You know what I mean, nobody can decide for you. You made the decision.
Jim, yeah. I appreciate the phone call, man.
All right,
Jim.
Ellis in Slidell. What's going on, Ellis? You're on WWL.
Hey, look, since all the fans last year were so hurt, we need to put it. I got two. The big payback and NOLA Nation Revenge.
NOLA Nation Revenge or Houdat Nation Revenge.
I think we got
the winner, though. It's the best so far, at least. We heard on the text line, Miami twice.
Well, because Miami twice, and then people who are not familiar, you know, you have it in Saints colors or something. Now I'm talking about bootleg T-shirts now. Miami twice, it's a simple slogan. You can fit it on a T-shirt, and you can glance at it, and you understand it. And it's not like you got to read a whole sentence and then have some Super Bowl logo or something. And, I mean, I think even the millennials are familiar with Miami Vice. I mean, you could Google that. And then now
they've had even a newer version.
Yeah, it's like they have a new version now. Right. So
it's not Don Johnson anymore.
Yeah, it's not Don Johnson. Right. So you can Miami twice because – we've been there, done that. That's like our home field for the Super Bowl. And, boy, that's a strange coincidence. That's where the Super Bowl's at this year.
I also, when you call in, I want to talk to you about, has the no call, how has it motivated you as a fan to perform in the stands? Like, when you're there in person cheering, is it going to make you that much more motivated and that much louder? And also, maybe you're not going to every game. Maybe you're not going to any games. But has it increased almost your fandom? I know the immediate aftermath was, I'm done with the NFL. I'm not buying any more tickets. We all know that those were words that sometimes we've all said things out of anger that we didn't really mean and weren't really willing to live up to. But when you're in the stands this year, how has the no-call motivated you as a fan to be that much more into the game and even more intense and loud during the game? The King on the causeway. What's going on, The King? You're on WWL.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Look, actually, Jim just kind of stole my thunder. I was going all the way with Leave No Doubt. Same reasoning. I mean, talking about the no call, you know, look, our guys, they've been kicking butt, and then we've just been losing at the end of those pivotal games in the playoffs. So if we Leave No Doubt, we up by two touchdowns. NOLA no call happens, we still up. We still win. That's where my mind was at with that.
Yeah, so
it's
then,
hard to do, though.
So it's a parody in the NFL, so there's no miracles could go against us because we're so far ahead.
Hard to get two touchdown leads and maintain them in the NFL. It just is. I mean, I know the Saints did it a few times last year. We've referenced the Bengals game and how just different
them.
It was in terms of the playing field. But you can't expect that every game. You're going to be in these one-possession ball games. It's just the nature of the NFL.
Yeah, and hopefully, I think that was a big reason we were 13 wins. When you look against Cleveland, they missed a field goals. Against the Ravens, they missed extra point, a guy that never misses. So, no, it kind of the ball has to bounce your way. But the ball definitely needs to bounce your way, or it should. And what's right is right, and what's wrong is wrong. To go to the Super Bowl, that's why it's crazy. You get me all mad and stuff. I started thinking about it. Wasn't like week 7 or 4. And like, man, we got ripped off. Even the Minneapolis Miracle, that was to go to Philadelphia. But that play, I'm telling you, was to go. You think about that. No, you might say, oh, they still had some time left. No. We get that call, we're going to the Super Bowl.
Game over.
Not enough we're going to beat the Patriots. We were sure in hell would have played a lot better than the Rams. The Rams scored 3 points. It seems like we never scored 3 points in our life under Sean Payton and Drew Brees. Now, I got to give you, you know what? That's a good like film when you look at it. Whatever the Rams were doing to Tom Brady and the Patriots, you got to give Wade Phillips a lot of credit. We know Wade Phillips in these parts. The Dome Patrol, Ricky Jackson knows Wade. And going back to Bum and all, they hold the Patriots to 13 points. Shame on the Rams that they didn't win.
Mm-hmm.
See, I think, I don't know if it would be the Patriots. I think it would have been back and forth. I think like a 23-20, that type of game. And hopefully you come out on top. But that was embarrassing, the Rams representing scoring 3 points. They were in over their head. I mean, I think Coach McVay's even acknowledged that. That was the teacher really schooling the pupil.
Head coaching matchup would have been much more back and forth had it been Sean Payton and Bill Belichick.
Because, listen, look at the last time we went to New England. God, was it Jabari Greer that ball barely went over his hand, and they could have called Holden on their tackle?
Junior Gallette
was grabbed around his neck, thrown to the ground. That should have been Holden. We should have beat the Patriots in New England. No, Sean Payton can hang with Bill Belichick, I'm telling you, as far as tit-for-tat and coaching strategy.
If you're on hold, sit tight. I promise your calls the rest of the way until the top of the hour here on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk, Bobby and Christian. Chris in Lakeview. What's going on, Chris? You're on WWL.
Hey, fellas. I'll get to the point real soon. Look, I want to tell Bobby. Bobby.
Yes.
I bought your jersey. And as the only, I'm 65 years old. I bought your jersey. That's the only one I ever bought and ever will.
Well, I appreciate that.
The only problem with it, bro, is I can't fit in it no more.
Well, you know what? I even have a jersey I can't fit in anymore. I'm trying to get back there, but I'm right there with you, Chris. I don't know, but just save it. That might motivate you one day to get back to that size.
Yeah, give me another Super Bowl, and I'll burn all that fat right off.
That's right.
Look, when I want to get on, y'all got all them sayings for this, that, and the other. But look, here, I got one. It's we decide. Hmm. Ain't nobody else in control. We going to decide. No flag, no nothing. We decide.
We decide. And we control our own. We control. That's right, Chris. We decide. We control our own destiny. Don't leave it in the officials' hands. I like that.
There you go. I need to copyright that, Bobby. Can you help me?
Yeah, I might have to. Like Cajun can and we decide, something like that.
Chris, you're too much, man.
All right, Chris.
Love you, boys.
All right.
All right, Chris. Warren and Metairie. What's going on, Warren? You're on WWL.
Hi, y'all, boys.
Hey, Warren. What you got, man?
Well, y'all been talking about the last 2 years being a travesty of justice. How about third time's the charm?
Had a couple of suggestions for that.
Yeah,
we like that.
Third time's the charm. And the thing is, let me tell you, the players, like a lot of times from a national perspective, you might see the media, how can the Saints players overcome this? Well, how did they overcome the Minneapolis Miracle? I'm telling you, as a player, man, every season's a new season. As fans, we might dwell on, God, man, we got ripped off. But the players, listen, look how the roster changes. Every year is a new year. That's just not coach speak. It's just not Drew Brees saying that. That is a fact. That is a fact.
Highlighted in blue.
Yeah. It's like it does not matter. Last year is last year and all that. So they can be motivated. No, the reason why we even had a chance, and they work against us in the Minneapolis Miracle, and they would have occurred getting ripped off against the Rams to go to Super Bowl, because we got a really good team. We won the, are we going to three-peat NFC South? Think about this. Back-to-back NFC South, as tough as our division is? Because it's going to be a challenge this year. I'm telling you right now, that the Falcons are going to be back. I hope we can sweep them. I always take every year because I think if both teams have talent, if they're healthy, can we split? You know, look at can it's not like the Patriots and that garbage AFC East. When you look at the Dolphins, Jets, and Bills, I look at okay, Cam Newton, where is he at with Carolina? When is Tampa Bay maybe going to turn the corner? I would take you right now. Somebody say, oh no, we want to go 6-0. I would take 5-1 right now for sure.
You can win the division 4-2
in the NFC South. And Christian, more realistic, 4-2.
You sweep Tampa, split with Carolina, split with Atlanta. You can win the division.
I agree with that 100%.
Uptown Ruler, what's going on, Uptown Ruler? You're on WWL.
We are winners, and we're going to win it all, and it's our time.
But we can't put that on a T-shirt, Uptown Ruler. I like that slogan.
Well, you can.
Yeah, we can do that in a pregame
it's
speech.
It's long, man.
We got that'd be a good pregame speech.
Well, we are winners, aren't we?
Yeah,
and we're going to win it all.
Hey, listen.
And it's going to be our time.
Anybody that says, like, oh, the Saints or people say the Ants, what are you? Are you ancient? The Ants, that's not even – the millennials don't even know that. The millennials know nothing but winners. And the Saints are winners. Think about this. You know when I say if you can do anything for a decade? You know who's the only team better than the Saints? I tell you this, Christian. The Patriots. Look at the 21st century.
My son's
where the Saints are at. Look, like your son, what he's witnessed.
He was born in 2007. He's 12 years old.
Okay, what he's witnessed?
Nothing but winning.
Winners, winning.
Aside from the 14, 15, and 16.
Winning, that's what the Saints do. When you look at anything you do for a decade, 12, 13 years, no, the Saints right now, 21st century, and what have you done for me lately? My favorite slogan, the Saints, what have you done for me lately? We in the top three.
This is why it's important as well. The older generation got their long-awaited wish, right, of seeing, talking about my dad's generation,
right.
My generation, your generation, was able to get what they've always wanted, to see a Saints win in their lifetime. Now we have the new generation of Saints fans, people like my kids, like Hayden. Hayden was 2 when the Saints won the Super Bowl. Yeah, did he watch it? Sure. Did he understand it? Absolutely not. So now, that's why it'd be great to get another one. So you have two generations that have basically witnessed a Saints Super Bowl championship.
And the opportunity, that window is still open. And, you know, it's a shame because we're not just blowing smoke or being biased, who that nation and all that. This is realistic. There's not no pie in the sky. Now, you got to win it, woulda, coulda, shoulda, and all that. But to show you how good the Saints are, this is from a national perspective. We won in 2009. We could have won in 2011. You know, I'm saying that's how good we were. And then I don't know about the Minneapolis Miracle that year, but we're still in the hunt. But last year, Christian, this is not far-fetched. The Saints under Drew Brees and Sean Payton. Now, we only have one Super Bowl. We could have 3, and it's not like, what are you talking about? No.
Or at least 2.
It's not even far-fetched. I would say 2 for sure, 3 if the ball's bouncing your way, and 4 if you're getting all the breaks.
Think about if the Saints had gotten those 3. Think about how you would change the legacy of Bill Belichick and Tom Brady as well.
Well, and then Sean Payton and Drew Brees' legacy. Ooh. Now, listen, Drew Brees is still a Hall of Famer. But you know what, Sean Payton's legacy? Talk about getting paid as a coach.
Not just getting paid, but would you say Sean Payton is in Canton right now?
I think he needs to win that second
Super Bowl. There's some debate, right?
See,
we don't have that same debate over Drew.
No, and if Sean, the thing is, you know why I think I would vote for him. I had a vote to go to Canton. Because, again, I said this, I'm going to plug his book. Jeff Duncan's writing a book. It's coming in the future. I don't think it's even out. To show you the efficiency in NFL history of the Saints offense with Drew Brees and Sean Payton, Christian, 13 years. Like right now, this is over a dozen years where, you know, you might be, okay, we might go 2, 3, 4 years and we're the number one offense or you're in the top 3. No. The Saints, last year we were the number 8 offense. And look how efficient, because now we're changing things up. But it's unbelievable what Sean Payton and Drew Brees has accomplished together. And so I think the media, from a national perspective, they're aware of Sean Payton, how good a coach he is. But if he wins that second Super Bowl, slam dunk, it ain't
he's in.
It ain't even no debate.
even if he got in last year and if he didn't win the Super Bowl, I think that then you go, all right, we're willing to have the conversation. Right now, the immediate response is, he's got to win another Super Bowl, opposed to the conversation would have been, had he went last year and maybe lost or won. If he won, it would have been like, yes, he's locked into Canton. If he lost, it was kind of like he might still have a different conversation, like, yeah, but I'm not quite sure.
Sean Payton's offense is on the level of Bill Walsh. You know, you take a different level like the West Coast and all that, and when everybody thinks of Bill Walsh, the late Bill Walsh, the 49ers, you have to think about this. Even with Bountygate in 2012, Sean Payton's not even around. But Drew Brees at the helm with his offense, we're the number two offense in the whole NFL. I mean, that's not by accident that stuff like that happens.
CBS and local news headlines, joined by Scott Rabelais, sports columnist for the Times-Picayune and New Orleans Advocate, next here on WWL. Terrible news up there in Philadelphia. Six officers shot in an active standoff with a shooter. The latest coming to you through CBS news headlines, top and bottom of every hour. Welcome back to Sports Talk. Scott Rabelais joining us now, sports columnist for the Times-Picayune, New Orleans Advocate, at Rabelais ADV on Twitter. Scott, how are you, man?
And Nolan.com and Baton Rouge Advocate. We're all over the place.
Yeah, well, you are. How you been?
We cover Louisiana like the dew, as they say. I'm good. Thank you. Went up to Canton, saw the ceremony a couple weeks ago, and now I'm back here watching the Tigers sweat it out every day.
Scott, when you look at LSU fall camp so far, what's been the biggest headline?
Is it the injuries or what?
Definitely been the injuries. I mean, going in, it was everybody was like, you know, talking about the offense and everything. But they've had a lot of guys out. You know, they've been down to 11 or 12 offensive linemen at times. Joe Burrow missed the first scrimmage last Saturday. Grant Delpit's been out a lot. Christian Fulton's been in and out. Both those guys practiced today. But Kalavon Chessan's still been out, and it's still not risen to the level of, you know, red alert yet. But you want to start seeing these guys, as Les Miles would have said, come to health very soon. They have another scrimmage scheduled for this Saturday, one more next Saturday before the season opener against Georgia Southern on the 31st. So it's going to be a time where no indication that any of these are you know, season-ending catastrophes, but it's getting to the time you want to get these guys back out there, get some reps, get some chemistry with their teammates.
Now, Scott, I want you to reflect back because you look at DBU, that being LSU, and the players they produce at the highest level in the NFL. And we had Coach O on Monday night. We had the Silver Slipper second guest, and we had Coach O on, and he was just raving about Derek Stingley. And if you look at, I remember reading where he was the best cornerback LSU had in the pre-Fiesta Bowl practices, and look at where he's at right now, just as a returner. How, if you can recall, how can you compare him maybe to when Patrick Peterson first came on campus?
Well, I think it's a similar expectation level, a similar buzz about him. But there's never been a guy who came, he turned out a trip to the All-American Bowl, I believe it was, one of the two most prestigious All-Star games for top recruits to come practice with LSU before they left to go to Arizona for the Fiesta Bowl. As you said, Dave Aranda said at the Fiesta Bowl he was the best guy in practice. Of course, he had the big interception against Joe Burrow in the spring game, people will recall. So, it's a big buzz. And they're big shoes to fill. I mean, Greedy Williams is fine, but no one has hesitated at all. I mean, Ed Orgeron and Aranda, no one has backed off of saying that he is a guy who's going to go out there as a true freshman and start, and then probably, as you said, be a kick returner as well. So huge expectations for the young man, but he is, you know, is believed to be a huge talent. As some people probably know, his grandfather was Darryl Stingley, who was unfortunately paralyzed, right, in a hit for playing for the New England Patriots, playing wide receiver years ago. Supposedly, he died a few years ago. Before he died, he told his son, watching Derek run, he said, "That boy's going to be special." And so we're going to see if grandfather's prediction comes true very soon.
Now, Scott, when you look at, you don't want too many cooks in the kitchen. And what I mean by that, when you're putting a game plan together, that's one thing. And I'm talking about Steve Ensminger and Joe Brady. When you talk about, you put in your run pass options or your run plays, pass plays, what you want to do. Is it like Steve Ensminger in the press box and Joe Brady's right by him? And Is Coach Hans Menger calling the plays with having a little influence with Joe Brady? Well, what is that process? Because I don't think they totally just doing whatever Joe Brady wants to do. I still think Coach Hans Menger is in charge, but wants some influence from Joe Brady. Is that correct or what?
Well, Joe is, yeah, I think that's exactly right. I think, you know, Joe Brady is supposed to, you know, have brought in plays and concepts from the RPOs, stuff that he learned under Joe Moorhead at Penn State when he was offensive coordinator. Of course, now the head coach at Miss State. You know, plays and concepts from the Saints passing game. You know, I think we'll see, you know, nobody does screens better than the Saints, and I think you'll see some of that with LSU's repertoire this year. But it's a lot of plays that he's brought, but it's still Steve Ensminger's offense to call with Joe sitting next to him, offering, having a play ready to go if it's something that, you know, Ensminger's looking for some input for. So, yeah, it's kind of an unusual situation. They both could be, as you said, up in the press box together. I'm kind of eager to see how it comes out. I think Steve Ensminger is a very good play caller, but I think you're going to have see some evidence of LSU's offense becoming more, you know, modern, more current, more
right,
more cutting edge, and that's what Joe Brady is supposed to bring with his influence in the playbook.
Now, Scott, again, I want you to look back in the past few seasons. Let's say you can't go past, I don't know, more than a dozen years, so to speak, but where they're at right now as far as from the quarterback position, where Joe Burrow is at and his confidence as the starter, and then I look at Miles Brennan being the sophomore, the weight that he's put on and his confidence. I mean, I know he could, you know, he could throw it. I've witnessed that. And then you got true freshman Peter Parrish. Is this maybe in one of the best case scenarios they've been in a while, when you look at least three deep from the quarterback position?
Yeah, I mean, I don't expect. I think Parrish is probably bound for a red shirt, although obviously you can play now four games and still red shirt. So you may see him a little bit this year. They say they're going to play Miles because you got to groom somebody for 2020 because Joe only has this year left.
Right.
But, but my concern with this offense, Bobby, and as a quarterback, I'm sure you could appreciate this. You know, if they're going to do a lot of RPOs, he's going to be carrying the ball. He's going to be subject to a lot of hits. And now Joe's a tough guy. I mean, everybody
right.
knows Joe's toughness, but there could be a time when Miles has got to play more than people think he's got to play. So
right.
that's important. So, yeah, I think if for the kind of offense they want to run, this is probably one of the better situations they're in. And but this is you still got to have that one main guy at the top. And this is – I'm firmly convinced this is Joe Burrow's team. You know, a year ago, he'd just been here for a couple of months. He went through spring practice at Ohio State last year, then came to LSU, and was still trying to get acclimated to everyone. Learn. He said, I didn't know everybody's name.
Right.
Now he's been here. He's kind of running the team. He's like, come on, you guys. Come with me. Let's go win some football games. And they responded to it.
And, you know, Scott, I'm kind of reflecting back now. Look with Matt Flynn. He took advantage of that one opportunity. They won a national championship, but he had to wait his turn. So looking at those years of the depth, I mean, is that comparable or what?
I mean, you know, that year you had him and Ryan Perilou, of course, that was the freshman, the freshman phenom.
Right.
He wasn't a freshman. I have to take that back. I'm sorry. He was a sophomore that year. But, and of course, he had to play in the SEC championship game and was the MVP.
It was outstanding.
When Matt Flynn got hurt against Arkansas in the regular season finale. So, yeah, I mean, you need two quarterbacks. This is, I like to say, there's the NFC South, and then there's right behind it is the – it's the SEC
West.
In terms of toughness, you know, tough league in this part of the country. So you got to have that depth in the quarterback position as well, no doubt. And it seems like a good position. Brennan supposedly has filled out, added about 30 pounds. He looks better. He's got a strong arm. He's got a stronger arm than Burrow, actually. You know, but you know, doesn't have quite the experience and the leadership that you can't pass up with Joe.
Scott, that kind of leads me right into my next question. You guys are talking about Joe Burrow potentially maybe being nicked up and Miles Brennan might have to go in for a series or two or perhaps even a half or two or a game. Do you think internally they're confident in Miles Brennan could function within their offense and help them and operate and win a game or two should he be called upon as a backup?
And you know, Scott, I'm going to interrupt Christian on that because it's probably the third time I'm going to say this now. Coach Ensminger told me if you go with the most improved player from last year to this year, he told me Miles Brennan. Now, it was off the air and all that, and I don't think he minds me saying this. He said it was Miles Brennan. Boy, and I was like, mm-hmm. whoa, that speaks volumes right there.
Yeah, I mean, they have to prepare for that eventuality that Miles may have to play an extended, number of, quarters or something like that. Look, Joe, like I said, Joe missed the scrimmage. Apparently, he took a hit and he wasn't supposed to take in practice, and he missed the scrimmage this past Saturday. So they say he could have gone maybe if he needed to, and it wasn't a major issue, and he returned to practice this week. But it illustrates the point that they have to have somebody else going in there. And I think I think they're more confident than they probably would have been a year ago. And it's a much different situation than a year ago when Miles was the one who was hurt.
Right.
And they couldn't let Joe do all the things they wanted to do offensively because they didn't really have a good option backing him up. This year, they have a good option. And I think they're going to be able to feel confident in running the full repertoire that they have offensively in terms of what the quarterback can do.
Scott, good stuff as always, man. Thanks for the time.
Thank you, guys. Take care.
All right, Scott Rabelais, sports columnist for the Times-Picayune, New Orleans Advocate. At Rabelais ADV on Twitter. Coming back for Walter, John, and Mark. You're next here on Sports Talk on WWL. Walter in Bay St. Louis, how are you, my man? You're on WWL.
I'm doing good. I was thinking about Get Back by the Beatles as a slogan.
Get Back. I like it. You're playing it. Playing it off of the Beatles.
We belong because we belong in Miami. We're back. So get back to where we once belonged.
Believe that, belong there.
But the only thing is, Walter, get back. That would be if we recently would have went to the Super Bowl. Because, when you think about it, man, that's like a decade.
But we're going back to Miami.
But yeah, but it's
back in Miami. We're back.
No, okay, we're back in Miami. Yeah, back to the future. Back to South Beach or whatever. Because mm-hmm. Christian, it's amazing how time flies, Walter. I don't know if you like this. I'm like, man, that seems like that wasn't that long ago. That's like a decade.
I know, it went by fast.
I'm like, what?
And look at all the opportunities that went by that they weren't able to capitalize on, whether of their own accord or. Are the miracles or what have you? I mean, it's crazy to think. It just goes to show you. That's why if you don't appreciate what the Patriots have done, you should, because it shows you how hard it is to win Super Bowls in the NFL. I'm sure a lot of Saints fans, and maybe a few of them, maybe I was one of them, where I thought, okay, they'll be back a couple years. They'll have a run here where they'll play in another Super Bowl. It's taken 10 years before they've gotten back. And even still hasn't.
In 2011, I blame Greg Williams. We were down by 17 points, and I love Greg Williams. Greg Williams is like, God, he's so old school. I love him. If you think about that game, we had a chance to win. We had 5 turnovers. We're down by 17 points in the second quarter, and we take the lead twice in the 5 minutes if we don't lose. Greg was too hard-headed. We blitzing, 3rd and long. Come on, Malcolm Jenkins, cover Vernon Davis. I think if he covers Vernon Davis, Malcolm Jenkins doesn't become a Philadelphia Eagle. I think we pay him and keep him here. That was it. Listen, offensively, just based on what we did in 2009, 2011, Sean Payton and Andrew Reid should be in the Super Bowl. I mean, in the Hall of Fame. I mean, just what they accomplished that year.
John, Mark, and Jay Diggity, sit tight. You're up next. This is Sports Talk on WWL. If you're on hold, I will carry you over to next hour. Also, former Saints and Colts head coach Jim Mora. Playoffs next hour. This is Sports Talk here on WWL.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.